Well, we'll see as we move on. But Gary,
yes.
This is interesting. As we move on to our next guest, this time live on the telephone, we now segue to a very interesting gentleman who studies the University of Kentucky. His name is Dejan Vinkovich, and we'll be talking to him in just a moment. He is involved in some very serious study about the sounds that emanate possibly from meteors. Now, you know, both of us, Rob, of course, here in Phoenix, captured an exciting piece of video. Now, Rob may be in a very special position right now because this gentleman, when we introduce him, he's very interested in the visual and audio recording that Rob caught. What did he catch? The sighting of a Leonid meteor, a little fireball, and a characteristic sound like a boom or a clap afterwards, which may be the sonic boom. At another time, while I was at the same time, about 80, 90 miles to the north, up in Payson, I saw an incredibly bright fireball and heard what sounded like a thunderclap, which is like a sonic boom. Now, whether or not they're related to the two meteors that we both saw, nobody knows. But this video and audio is right up on our website right now for everybody to analyze. But what's very interesting, Rob Krudkowski gets credit, of course, for citing this and seeing this and capturing it. Maybe a very unusual event that he captured. And we're going to talk now to someone who realistically... No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know...
Someone who really has studied this, and let's bring on the line right now to KXAM. Good afternoon, as we welcome Dejan Vinkovich to the program today. Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, hello.
Well, welcome to the program.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you've heard a lot of our commentary here, but basically what Rob Krudkowski captured and is up on the Dr. Sky website, I think, is very, very interesting, Dejan. Tell us, though, what you do and how this whole thing kind of makes sense. You study what you're calling a very interesting phenomenon called electrophonic sounds from things like fireballs and, as we've spoken before, the possibility that the aurora borealis may also excite some sound of its own, correct?
Yeah, the weird thing about the sound that you're talking about right now is that if you calculate the time required for this sound to travel such a large distance between you two who observed and heard that sound, you find yourself with very strange numbers because we know that the sound has some limited speed. So we know that these fireballs happen at altitude about 50 to 70 miles. So it would require minutes for the sound to reach the ground, and then you would have a sort of a rumble sound, and this is more or less well-known phenomenon of sound propagation. However, you heard these sounds almost simultaneously with the meteor, right?
I remember hearing mine. Now, Rob's here, and if Rob could get closer to the microphone here, I'd like Rob to explain to the listeners what he did, because my sighting is a visual sighting. Uh-huh. I don't have a photograph or anything. But Rob was videotaping this, so Rob, please tell us what happened, approximate time that you saw this, and you can tell all of our listeners what happened, so Dejan may be able to, of course, correlate this in a better time frame.
Sure. I was basically taping the whole thing. I think I have about 8 hours of audio and video. And
scanning around the sky, kind of panning around?
No, I did the lazy method. I just pointed it up in the air.
A look.
Head on wide, right. And...
This happened to come in the field then.
Well, actually, I got some really good shots of meteors, but the one that has the sound to it, I'm not sure I can identify an actual meteor in the picture that matches the sound. All I remember is watching the meteor shower, and I saw a group of good meteors, and I'm not even sure about this, but I thought I saw like just a flash behind me, and then I heard a sizzle and a loud boom. And I've heard sonic booms before, and it was very similar.
So, Dejan, your interpretation of this whole thing, I know you heard Rob have spoken about this, you're saying basically to our listeners and to ourselves here in the studio that it would take an incredible amount of time, longer than a simultaneous event, for that to be what you'd think of as a traditional sonic boom, correct?
Right. So there are two interesting parts of this sound that we heard right now describing. This sizzle is very characteristic sound for another type of phenomena. It's called electrophonic sound. And that clap heard after the sizzle is probably also electrophonic sound, simply because there's no physics that can explain such a fast propagation with ordinary sound propagation physics. So So this season, if you go to some 300 years old books, and actually went to Cambridge, England, and to one in a library in Christ College, and I had books 300 years old in my hands where people describe exactly the same thing: a fireball in the sky and sounds simultaneously this fireball. So in 1676, one Italian astronomer called Gemini Montanari realized that the time required for these sounds to reach the ground level is about minutes. And he said that all these people who heard these simultaneous sounds probably imagined them. And that's the first written record of this phenomenon. So 300 years later, in present time, we ask ourselves the same question. So you heard the sound, so I don't need to convince you that these sounds exist or not.
Just like Rob, I've heard sonic booms before, and this one, my experience, one more time, a little more information, is we were looking about 360 on top of a large mountaintop, and we had, looking to the south, I saw this fireball shoot across the sky. When I say fireball, something as bright as Jupiter, which is bright, as you know. And then right after the meteor seemed to pop in the sky, I heard what sounded like a thunderclap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm familiar with gunshots, and the sounds of it, because I'm a firearms instructor, and I know all about that kind of stuff, and a lot of our listeners know about that. It wasn't the report of a firearm. It was definitely like that of a sonic boom. I remember hearing the space shuttle enter the atmosphere once in New Mexico. It was a series of these. It sounded just like that. So that's bizarre.
Dale, isn't it possible, though, that the sound came from something that was indeed closer to the surface of the Earth? Rather than so far up?
Right. So, in this particular case, we are talking about Leonids. And Leonids are very fragile meteors, and they burn out at really, really high altitudes. They can hardly penetrate deeper than 50 miles altitude. Mm-hmm. And you really need a spectacular fireball, brighter than a full moon, or so, to create a sound, and it's not impossible. But
it would take
noticeable time for you to hear this sound, and also the fireball would be really spectacular.
Dan, I have a question that I don't think I've ever had a good answer to, and it's a little bit off the mainstream of what we're talking about, meteors. For the longest time, I've been a fan of the Aurora spy plane, if there is such an aircraft, a hypersonic space flight vehicle. Mm-hmm. And what I've always wondered about, people claim that they've had sightings. Airline pilots have seen, while they're flying at cruise altitude, something zipped past the cockpit and has a series of contrails that look like donuts on a rope. The point is, with the sounds, we have heard, characteristically, in the 1980s on the East Coast, a tremendous amount of, quote, booms, like sonic booms, that were, you know, never explained. And also, back on the West Coast in the early 1990s, people heard sounds, and I describe it as, I quote, like the sky being ripped apart, like a shriek or a sound. Do you have any information that you can share with this audience today about any of this military project that, maybe like Aurora, that may be responsible for some of these other sounds that I'm describing?
Well, I'm not familiar with this military experiment, but in any case, if you have a strong electric field, and this electric field can be produced either by lightning, Aurora,
mm-hmm.
or meteors in this case, and these meteors are the most puzzling part because we don't know physical process which would create such strong electromagnetic disturbance, or by strong military antennas, because military is using a specific frequency range of kilohertz range for communication with submarines. And so if you come close to these antennas, you will be exposed to large electric fields.
These are low frequency radio, like ELF?
ELF frequencies. And VLF. Also, it is used for navigation purposes. And you can recognize these because they're usually monochromatic. You can see that they have very specific frequency, and that's how you can discard them from background natural noise. But in any case, if you're exposed to large electric fields, then there are several processes that can create sounds. One of them is an oscillation of ordinary objects around you. An electric field would, let's say, grab an object and move it a little bit, enough to create a sound, because sound is nothing else than a pressure wave, right?
Exactly.
And the other way, probably even easier way, and this would fit the this witness reports of Gvish, Vus, or crackling sounds, is that strong electric fields are extremely amplified on the top of sharp objects, top of conductors. So, so if you have a metal object, sharp metal object nearby, it can be just a fence or your car. But even plants, top of leaves, can induce another phenomenon, that's corona discharge, and you can, there's like tiny sparks, invisible sparks, because they emit mostly in ultraviolet, so you cannot see them, but if it is really quiet outside, mm-hmm. you can hear them. And actually, I witnessed one sound, and this interesting phenomenon called brontophonic sound. You can hear lightning before it actually happens.
Weird.
Because before lightning, the local electric field around the spot where the lightning is going to hit the ground, the local electric field rises enormously. And that moment, I heard crackling sound in the air around me. Very weird thing. And then lightning happened, fortunately for me.
Well, this is interesting because I'm also looking at a book here called Unusual Natural Phenomenon, and I'm a student of this like many people. The author of this book is a gentleman named William Carless. It's an older book from the 80s, but this is interesting. We were sharing this by some of us in the studio. The sound of auroras. I'm reading a section here, and I won't quote it, but the gist of it is that auroras apparently have, people have heard sounds from auroras, and even descriptive analysis shows that people traveling like the Eskimos to the North Pole, particularly the North Pole, actually almost seeing the aurora touch the ground. Now, I know that sounds really ridiculous. How can an ethereal thing in the ionosphere, which is where the auroras are, as everybody probably knows, actually reach down and seemingly touch mm-hmm. the surface of the Earth, but more incredibly, make sounds? And what it makes me totally excited here in this room, that we know so little about our natural world as you continue to develop and work on this project. What is it specifically that you're charged with over there to study? And I think Rob's onto something big here, don't you think, of what he captured?
And actually, I and my colleagues went to Mongolia 2 years ago to study this, to capture these sounds on the video and record them, because there was a nice fireball show 2 years ago, a Leonid show, and we recorded these sounds. And what happens in all this situation is that these phenomena exist, and we know that exist because there's simply too many people describing their experience with these phenomena, but to be honest, really don't know much about it. But I can give you even more weird phenomena, mm-hmm. and that's smelling meteors.
Now that's the most bizarre thing I've ever thought about.
What do they smell like?
And it is part of the same picture. And what happens is that people then report little pieces of this
smelly meteor,
like a puzzle. And then when you put them together, it fits perfectly. And the explanation would go like following. So if you have a strong electric field, mm-hmm. now put on side the fact that you have to explain how an aurora or meteor or whatever created this electric field. But if you are exposed to strong electric fields, then you can have these little corona discharges. And these little corona discharge can create not only sound, but also various type of vapor.
Dan, I've seen this in photographs where the people who are around the Alaska pipeline, taking photographs not in normal white light, have seen this coronal discharge. As we know, the Alaska pipeline is a great inductor. And with all that electrical energy up there, it looks like there's little corona discharges around the big pipeline. So it almost looks like the Alaska pipeline has an electrical static charge around it. Is it kind of similar to what you're talking about?
Exactly. That's exactly the same process, but in case of meteors and auroras, it's not so spectacular, that not so big and strong that you can see it. And usually, for example, if you watch meteors, you watch the sky, and you do not notice these things. So this is exactly the phenomenon that I'm talking about. But in different situations, you experience this in different ways. For example, with meteors, you instinctively know that these meteors are far away, if you are just familiar with meteors at the most basic level, and then hearing the sound and then smelling them.
That's bizarre.
So bizarre that this became the biggest problem for this field of science. Simply, scientists ignored this for years and years.
So, Dan, we need to take a break right now.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dejan Vinkovic, graduate student of the University of Kentucky, as he pursues his PhD in astrophysics. You're listening, of course, to the Afternoon Show with
That's
Gary
right.
Segerstrom.
And I'm sitting
Sky.
Here.
And we are here, and we will be right back.
This is 1310 KXAM. I have a message for all of you that have not gotten your Christmas shopping done, and especially if you have someone on your list that's hard to shop for, or if you really want to give something that's different and will stand out under the Christmas tree. Why don't you make a stop at Lisa's Hand-Thrown Pottery Shop at 7129 East Mercer Lane in Scottsdale. Now, I've shopped there for years for friends and for myself, and I have in my home dozens of her pieces of her excellent collection. Now, you'll find everything from unique coffee cups to some of the most beautiful platters, vases, wall pieces, and everything in between. Lisa's pottery is featured in more than a dozen of the Valley's top resorts. Her quality is the best. All pieces are dishwasher, oven, and microwave safe. Whoever receives a gift from you will thank you for it and cherish it for a lifetime. Lisa's Hand-Thrown Pottery, 7129 East Mercer Lane. Mercer is one block north of Shea on Scottsdale Road. And you really have to see her work to appreciate how beautiful it is. Make it a stop at Lisa's, 7129 East Mercer Lane, and tell her John Dale sent you by.
This is Rich Maston, one of your hosts on the Inside Out, etc.com home improvement radio show. Join us on Saturdays for a full hour of interviews with some of the Valley's top home improvement companies. You'll get plenty of tips and ideas for many of your home improvement projects and get a chance to win some exciting home improvement products along the way. Visit us on the web at www.insideoutetc.com.
It's the Inside Out Etc. Home Improvement Show, Saturday afternoons at 1, right here on 1310 KXAM. Now we're talking.
Learn how you can profit in today's volatile stock market by attending a free trade secret seminar. Learn the little-known strategies professional floor traders use to reduce risk and increase profits. You'll learn strategies most brokers don't know. For reservations, call 800-891-4242. Attend and learn how you can trade stocks like Dell, Intel, Microsoft with only $1 a share at risk. Protect stocks and mutual funds from market downturns. Make large monthly returns on small moves in a stock. Profit whether a stock goes up or down. Make a full-time income. I'm trading in only 4 to 6 hours per week. Plus, recoup losses due to market downturns. For reservations to this totally free seminar, call 800-891-4242. This could be the most profitable 3 hours of your life. Seating is limited. You must call now for reservations at 800-891-4242. The stock market is risky and not suitable for all investors.
Attend this free seminar on Monday, December 17th at the Radisson Resort and Spa in Scottsdale.
Looking at the night sky has never been easier with the revolutionary sky window from DrSky.com. Tired of using hard-to-use equipment that costs thousands of dollars and gives back little in the way of satisfaction? Dr. Sky's Sky Window is a revolutionary binocular system that permits an observer to view the sky from the comfort of your chair, and by moving a special mirror, you can scan the sky from horizon to the zenith. Find comets, meteors, satellites, and deep sky objects. The Sky Window, your window to the sky, is available to order right now for $299.95 or by calling 480-835-5742 online at drsky.com. No sky is complete without the Dr. Sky Window. Order yours today.
If you missed Mitch Albom last night on KXAM from 5 to 7 p.m., here's what you missed.
New York Post carried a photo of a young Palestinian boy. He's about 6. He is strapped with suicide bomber gear, toy gear. He is surrounded by 4 members of Hamas, hooded Palestinians. They are teaching him how to become a suicide bomber. And they're teaching them that this is a good way to die. Then they teach them they must wait until they're 18 to do it. And here we are in the United States saying, when you get 18, right, you know, you can drive, right, and you can go out to bars and you vote, can you vote, and you can date and be an adult. And here, boy, just wait till you're 18, you can blow yourself up.
Don't miss Mitch Albom weeknights, 5 to 7 p.m. right here on 1310 KSAM. Now we're talking.
Sick of everyday problems with no real answers? Tune in to the Lead Letter Project for the Cure. Sundays at 8 p.m. on 1310 KXAM. It's good for what ails you.
Da 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 da
You know, we're pushing our way through the last moments with our time here with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates.
Well, hopefully not for the last time.
No, I mean today. We're talking about today. And our guest with us, actually on the phone, Dejan Vinkovic, and, of course, Curtis Holder, who's here in studio from Triad Electronic Technologies, and, of course, Rob Krakowski, president of Ideal Corporate Image.
Yes.
What a wonderful thing. Let's bring up our guest, and really, Dan, it would be possible for you to kind of, you know, summarize what you think all this is.
Okay, I'll try to put in a couple, few words. There has been, there have been several hundreds years of witness reports of sound simultaneous with meteors, and there is no explanation for this sound. I talked about this electric field and how we can create these sounds on the ground by electric fields, and this part of the picture seems more or less okay. The problem is that meteors are very small particles, so we do not have any physical explanation for these dust particles burning at such high altitudes. How can they produce such a strong electric field? We don't know. So the current status of this research is I would say, in such a pioneering level that we need reports of this electrophonic sound. So we can gain some knowledge even from the fact that people heard that sound from, for example, Leonid. And then I can go through these reports, and I'm collecting these reports, and I can notice some details in the report that can give us clues about possible physical explanation. So if you witness these sounds, if you heard these sounds, you can send me an email to gefs@ccs.uky.edu, or you can visit the web page of this Global Electrophonic Fireball Survey project on gefs.ccs.uky.edu, and there is a form there. You can fill the form, and the questions are designed such a way that we can get the most important information from you.
Thank you so much, Dejan.
Thank you.
And you also linked on our Dr. Sky website exactly the information at hand. Thank you so much for being our special guest in the second part of our third 3 o'clock hour.
All right. Fantastic, Dan. I appreciate it.